Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that you feel the welcome home of Christ even through your phone. We pray that this message causes you to know God better, walk in greater freedom, discover what God has called you to do in this life, and make an eternal difference in the world around you. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rob, and it's an honor to be with you online as we are in this very, very unique, crazy cultural moment. Just want you to know that I am literally preaching in front of over 1,000 empty seats. And so to say that that is a little bit uncomfortable is an understatement. And just to let you know that all those seats have already fallen asleep. So please don't do that at home, or at least don't let us know that that's what's happened as you've listened to these next few moments that I have with you. I know that this is stating the obvious, but this truly, truly is the craziest of times that we are in. In fact, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that this is absolutely unprecedented. Pastor Chris said last week, when he talked about uncertainty and what it can do for us, and as soon as he said uncertainty, he had me, because all of us are there. And so what I would like to press into today is not just unpacking this whole issue of uncertainty, but the one emotion that uncertainty can produce, and that is fear. And so I'm going to go ahead and put this big idea up here on the screen just to try to help us walk through this. And it's this: we must process the mysterious and scary nature of a broken creation through the certainty and care of God. I want to repeat, we must process the mysterious and scary nature of a broken creation through the certainty and care of God. I would even argue, if you're not even a follower of God, that you would actually agree that there's so much mystery to what is going on right now, and it could be very, very scary because of that mystery. In fact, in Romans 8, Paul says that even our very creation groans for its own redemption. And so, how do we process this as people who love God and people who follow Jesus? Well, I want to present to you in this moment that the way we walk through this is through the concept called refuge. I love that word. In fact, Webster's defines refuge as a place of shelter, protection, or safety. We all probably can have memories of growing up, and there may be certain parts on our property or in our homes that we went to because it provided some type of refuge. Or sometimes we can even put earphones onto our ears to listen to music because it provides us a sense of safety and refuge. And so we all are very familiar with wanting to be safe and going to wherever we need to go to in order to be safe. But what if there is danger and concern that comes after you? So just to back up a little bit, before I get into our passage for today, I want to highlight something in the Old Testament that's very important to understand this concept called refuge. Numbers 35 and Joshua 20 talk about how God told his people in the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah to build cities of refuge. Let me tell you what these cities were for. And it's, when you first hear this, I promise you it's going to sound very outlandish, but stay with me. These cities of refuge were for a very specific purpose. The priests were to live in these cities of refuge. And back then, if you lived in this point in human history, if a member of your family killed a member of another family, that family would elect somebody called the Blood Avenger. I told you it would sound outlandish. And that Blood Avenger's job is literally to go after you, to run after you, and once that person gets to you, they are to kill you. Hence the term Blood Avenger. But not all killing was murder. There were times that people died accidentally. So if a member of my clan, if a member of my tribe accidentally killed a member of another family, they would raise up the blood avenger. And what I was to do is I was to run to the nearest city of refuge. And I would run, they would open their gates, the high priest would come and they would have a trial, and that then they would exonerate me because I accidentally killed that member of the other family, and the blood avenger was called off. Well, today we're going to walk through Psalm 46. So if you have it on your tablets, or if you want to go to BibleGateway.com, or if you're watching this online, or if you have your physical Bibles in front of you, as you walk through Psalm 46, the psalmist doesn't talk about a structural, physical city of refuge. It talks about God as our refuge. In fact, it says that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. I think you'll agree, we are in a time of much cultural trouble and angst and anxiety. So what does it mean for us when God is our refuge? What happens for us when He is our safety? Well, let me tell you the first one. When God is our refuge and strength, we get unearthly courage. And this is what it says in verses 1 through 3 and verse 11. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore. Now, when you see that word therefore, that's a pivot word. That means everything that we're going to read from here on out in this entire Psalm 46 comes out of, this is like an equal sign, is what we get to God as our refuge. And it says, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. So the reason why this is a big deal is, if you're like me, I don't like those though words. Though, right, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, all of those are very scary. They could be very dangerous. We can easily culturally say, though we have COVID-19, though some of us are recovering from things like storms and tornadoes, though we're walking through a life situation that is so hard, even in the midst of that, we can have an unearthly courage. This is key. And let me tell you why. If our courage is in something that's going to crumble, we will have crumbling courage. If our hope and encouragement and courageousness comes from mountains and waters in creation, then we're going to be filled with anxiety and fear. But the great thing here is our courage is unearthly. It comes from outside of this planet for those of us who dwell on this planet. I remember when I was a very, very small child and I took swimming lessons for the first time. And the big conclusion of the 2 weeks of swimming lessons was going on and jumping off a diving board for the very first time. So I went to the low diving board and I went out to the very edge of the diving board, and in the water was the lifeguard, and this person's trained for rescue and so forth, and she has the flotation device and literally was just going to catch me as I entered into the water. And I went to the edge, and I mean, my swimming trunks are barely hanging on me. I have no meat on my bones, unlike now. And then I have all this fear and I get ready to jump and I say, no. And I kept going back. And I mean, it seemed like forever. I kept going back and forth on the diving board because I was so scared. I just couldn't do it. But then somebody dived into the deep water who was not the lifeguard. He got the flotation device and looked up at me. It says, "Robbie, jump." It was my mom. I immediately jumped. What dissipated my fear? The character of the person for my rescue. We get unearthly courage. The next thing we get is God is our refuge, is we have steady joy. It says in verse 4 that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Do you notice in this passage, it does not say there is a lake whose water make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. It says there is a river whose streams. Lake is a sitting water. A river is running water. And here's the great news about God as our refuge. Even in the midst of press conferences, even in the midst of headlines, even in the midst of all this noise, in the midst of all of it, we as the people of God can have a steady joy that is absolutely bubbling with the promises of God. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So when God is our refuge, we get unearthly courage. We have a steady joy. And then next, we have immovable protection. Verse 5 says, "God is in the midst of her." The psalmist now personifies the city of Jerusalem. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So when God is our refuge, we have unearthly courage. We have steady hope. We have immovable protection. See, in the New Testament, we read that God indwells all of his kids with the Holy Spirit. And that is a permanent indwelling. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 1:13, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." We get immovable protection. Now, let me say something right here that I think is very important. God's protection may not always mean protection from an earthly enemy, but it will always mean protection from our ultimate enemy. Always. See, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, when he compares himself to a shepherd, and he says this phrase, he compares his children to sheep, and he says, "No one can snatch us out of his hand." So no matter what is going on in the stock exchange, on Wall Street, the financial picture of our culture, no matter what is going on in terms of health and all the things that come with that, in the midst of all this, we have immovable protection from God. And then lastly, when God is our refuge, we have guaranteed hope. And at this point, as this psalm concludes, the writer of the psalm now starts painting God as a warrior king. It says, "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." See, if you're like me, I've had all kinds of hopes my entire life. Dreams for my life, goals I want to attain, things I want to experience. And to be blunt with you, the majority of those have never occurred. And so hope, by its very nature, has a possibility to it. This is what I hope will happen. It might or it might not. Imagine if that's the kind of hope you have in the midst of this cultural crisis that you and I are in this moment. But we don't have that type of hope. We have a guaranteed one. God says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Full stop. That is good news for me, because I need hope. So do you. I want to be very vulnerable with you about how already God has used this cultural moment in my life. As I have been experiencing the things that you are experiencing and hearing the things that you are hearing, and I am a blessed father of four precious children. I have a wonderful, tremendous wife. But here's what I've learned. The possibility of a virus that I might get has revealed a virus that I already have. I have seen through this how I can run to all kinds of refuges, lowercase r, the refuge of the safety of my wife, the safety of my children, the safety and significance of what I do for a living and the material possessions that I have. And isn't it interesting that somehow God in his providence has allowed this to occur, which what I would argue is to show us that we have a virus within that is much more lethal than the virus that's without. And so we need a redeemer. And so 2,000 years ago, there was someone who came. And when he came to this planet, he was vilified, misunderstood. His earthly family even deemed him insane. But he taught as one who had authority. He was spotless, absolutely innocent morally. And he came and he died. And before he died, they put him on trial. Remember the city of refuge, how that person would be chased by the blood avenger. They would go in, they would have a trial. And ironically, here we go, this person was put on trial. And though he was absolutely innocent, they declared him absolutely guilty. And what was he guilty of? He was guilty of wanting to redeem self-righteous, prideful sinners, the most lethal virus of all. And he died. But he rose again from the grave. And guess what he did? He defeated once and for all our blood avenger by shedding his own blood so that we could be adopted sons and daughters of God. Hebrews 6:18 says, "So that by two unchangeable things, which is possible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." Christ is our refuge. And so our hope, as you are experiencing this online, that you would see that you already have a virus of sin. And no earthly hospital, no team of doctors, no political decision, no boundary setting can exonerate us and cure us of that virus. And so would you in this moment realize that and then put your trust in the greatest refuge of all, and that is Christ. And say, I want this Christ to be the leader and savior of my life. And you will receive the forgiveness of your sin, a new identity, adopted into his kingdom, an ambassador for his glory. We hope and pray that happens for you in this moment. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. Lord, we love you. Give us strength. Enable us to please you, to trust you during this time. Thank you for who you are. In your awesome and precious name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. And for those of you that support our God-given mission, thank you for your joyful generosity. It's because you give that we're able to see lives forever changed by the gospel. You can click the link in the description of this episode to give now or go to bridge.tv for more information about our church. And we believe the gospel is good news worth sharing. So if you enjoy the podcast, feel free to subscribe and share this episode with family and friends on social media. You can tag us at BridgeChurchTN. Thanks again for listening and have a blessed day.